From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report. It is the ninth day of February 2011. This morning, the United States Department of Agriculture lowered the ending stocks for corn by 70 million bushels, now 675 million. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, will be here to tell us what it might mean for the marketplace in the coming days. And then a bit later in the program, we'll check in on one of those changing numbers with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. They're attached to an ethanol plant. Ethanol usage was up again this month. As we close out our half hour, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated will be here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, USDA report day, when they did lower the ending stocks for corn by 70 million bushels. Wheat futures were higher, and so were the corn and the beans in the wheat contract. The March futures at $8.86, up 11 and 3 quarters. May at 9.17 and 3 quarters, up 11 and 3 quarters. And July wheat at 9.44 and 3 quarters, 12 and a quarter higher. December at 9.82 and 3 quarters, up 12 and 3 quarters. And the hard red from Kansas City at $9.88, 16 cents higher on the afternoon. March corn futures, $6.98, up 24 and a quarter. May at $7.08 and 3 quarters, up 24. July at $7.13 and a half, up 22. And September at $6.59 and 3 quarters, up 15 and a half. And then the new crop came. December futures, $6.14 and a half, up a dime. March at $6.22, up 7 and a quarter. March bean futures up 16 and 3 quarters of a cent at $14.51 a bushel. The May at $14.63, up 17. July 14.70 and a quarter, up 17, and the November bean futures at $13.97, up 19 and a half cents a bushel. March bean meal at $3.88.60, up $2.90. March soybean oil at $59.74, up 97 on the day. February live cattle futures at $107.72 and a half, or 7 and a half cents higher today. The March contract in the feeders at $122.92 and a half, a buck 32 and a half lower. And the February lean hog futures at $85.17 finished 35 cents higher. It is a Tuesday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures at $86.78 a barrel, just about 18 cents lower on the day. Ethanol at $2.45.7, up 0.7 cents. Natural gas at $4.00 a penny higher. Heating oil at $2.77.2, 4 cents higher. And the gold futures at $1,364.80 an ounce, up $1.40. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 12,198, just about 35 points lower, and the U.S. dollar down 0.36 at 77.63. The CRB index for the afternoon at 339.43 is up 2.18 on the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for this afternoon across to Urbana and Champaign in east central Illinois. The sky should be mostly sunny. They're cloudy still. High near 55 degrees. Wind chill values between -1 and -4. High near 15 degrees, that is. West winds around 11 miles an hour. Tonight, mostly clear skies. A low of just -1. Wind chill values between -5 and -13 below. And west-northwest winds between 5 and 9 miles an hour. Tomorrow should have a sunny sky, a high near 19 degrees, wind chill values between -10 and 0. West-southwest winds, they'll pick up between 5 and 14 miles an hour, and they'll gust all the way to 20. And then Thursday night, it'll be partly cloudy, a low of 11 degrees, wind chill values between -5 and 0. Southwest winds around 14 miles an hour. They'll gust as high as 18 miles an hour. By the time we get to Friday, it should be partly sunny. A high near 30 degrees. Winds between 13 and 16 miles an hour. They'll gust as high as 23 miles an hour. More on the ag weather when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural futures markets. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, is on the phone line with us today. Hi, Paul. How are you?
Good afternoon, Todd.
What kind of grade did you give the USDA this morning?
Well, I think it was, you know, I think it was a, probably a pretty good grade for a change. A couple things, you know, the corn number was the surprise, and of course the Argentine crop wasn't cut as much as people had thought, and of course I think it's based on an ideal weather forecast in the last 30 days down there. The rain has been very beneficial, and I think that the private people 30 days ago probably will echo that. It means that early corn harvested in southern Illinois will probably move north instead of south. Farmers will plant a little earlier and get some premiums, and of course these big monstrous dryers will probably be running 30 days earlier than normal here in Oakland. It is going to be a tremendous balancing act to move grain from one point of the country to another, and of course I'm going to say there's going to be some tremendous arbitrage, you know, actually canceling export corn sales and shifting them to South America. There'll be a tremendous spread, unusual spread going on. But the bottom line is that the high fructose industry, the corn sweetener industry, the starch industry, and, of course, the ethanol industry, job is to have corn for process. And I'm sure that there's high-level discussions on just how to get that job done this afternoon.
Yeah, at this moment, both of those sets look like they used more corn than most had expected. That's where USDA picked up the extra usage.
Well, you know, I don't think that even surprised Paul Cooley because, you know, I think the ethanol plants are full throttle and the corn sugar plants are running full throttle. And that part didn't surprise me. I think the real surprise, of course, is I'm surprised the government didn't lower the export sales a little bit on the corn. But, you know, that's a big deal with this particular issue. But, you know, the real snug thing is the corn carryover has been cut and cut dramatically. And that sends a warning signal to the end users that it isn't going to be business as usual this year.
We kind of thought, I think, that you know, pipeline was, you know, 700, 720, something like that. But USDA is now down at 675 million bushels in just that much in carryover. How scary does that make it?
Well, it is unusual. And, of course, some of that old crop corn carryover is probably number three or four yellow corn. So, you know, it's going to be hard to let your bins get completely empty because there's some damaged corn still out there in the pipeline. There's going to be some wheat feeding. There's going to be, you know, some unusual things take place. Feed wheat is a big factor in the world feeding situation. I'm sure that the livestock industry is going to have to make some definite changes. But you'll be surprised at the spreads in corn. You know, old crop corn will gain on new crop corn. Corn glutenfeed will probably become a little more valuable. And it will be interesting to see just how the Chinese react. And the other thing is, it is $100 an acre from our figures, or more today even, to raise corn and soybeans. So, you know, this is a new deal. And the Feed Grains Council and the USDA and I think the grain industry wants a big corn crop, and it looks like this is well on the way to getting their wish.
Well, they'll have to have a big crop. They want a big crop, and they'll have to find the anchors. Is that possible?
I think so. I think the farmer has a sharp pencil. Every acre that I drive by, at least all of it was fall tilled. And when you start talking about $100 an acre, The magic is 200 bushels times $6. That's easy math, and that's a big barn burner in anybody's book.
And on Commodity Week over the weekend, if you listened, you heard Tommy Schuff, who is a long-time trader on the floor at the CME. He's now in Sarasota, Florida, say something along the lines of the farmer's job this year is to grow corn. And that's what they've got to do.
I think they understand that with price action. And we did put a lot of priced orders in, somewhere in that 625 to 645 area. There's a lot of corn being offered in to go in and do it. The farmer is different than the Southern Illinois wheat farmer. He bought bull call spreads to protect him. But there is this feeling out there a year from now, corn prices are going to be cheaper. And I'm not going to buy any price protection with the futures market in Chicago.
All right. So other than that, what do you see in the marketplace today for the soybeans?
Well, the soybean market, of course, had this reduction in soybean oil, and that basically what kept the soybean market alive. We're going to have a big bin buster crop down in Brazil and soybeans. The early yields are coming in tremendous. I think the bean crop is going to be a surprise in Argentina as well, not as bad as people had thought. So that's a big factor, and I think you'll see some moderation of price advance in the soybean market. And, of course, the wheat-corn spreads, the wheat carryover isn't as snug as some of the other supply-demand estimates indicate, and I think you'll actually see corn gain on wheat as far as prices are concerned in here. There was this talk mid-morning about a frost freeze in Mexico. That had everybody scratching their head. None of the private meteorologists even talk about Mexico's weather in the 14th place. And everybody's going to be asking just how much damage is in there. It's mainly in the southern part of Mexico. So that's going to encourage probably some premiums in white corn for the white corn farmer in the Midwest.
When you look out across the months, what's the next thing besides the USDA's March 31 acreage report that you're going to be watching across the globe for supply and demand? Is it how the wheat crop comes in this spring?
I think it's whenever we see China buy corn or go into the corn market in any kind of big way. That's the one that's going to surprise me. I don't think there's a doubt in my mind we're going to get a lot of corn planted. With these new big planters, I don't think we have enough fertilizer. I think we have enough seed corn. It's going to get done. Price level's the big push here. $6 plus corns, new crop corn out of the field is a big incentive to play the game.
With that, I suppose we should stop. Are you done?
Have a good day.
Hey, you too. Thank you. Bye-bye. That's Paul Cooley. He's with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. I wasn't trying to cut him off. I just wondered if he had anything left to say because we've covered a lot of it. Paul joins us each and every Wednesday afternoon right here on the Closing Market Report to talk about the agricultural futures markets. Of course, you can hear him again if you'd like on our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. You can find everything from our pre-opening market report to our closing market report, all the kinds of things that we do in between. Two posted not long after they air on our radio station, and one that, gets posted there before it ever goes up on a radio station, Commodity Week. It's our weekly look at what happened in the marketplace. Our guest this week will be Rich Nelson. He's with Allendale, and their director of research. Should be a good program. Commodity Week on willag.org by about 6 o'clock each and every Friday evening.
The 21st annual All-Day Agricultural Outlook meeting is sure to attract a crowd. Among those presenting March 8th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, Murray Wise from Murray Wise Associates, Joe Vaklovic from MF Global, Roy Huckabee from the Lind Group, and Tom Fritz from EFG. Avoid the long registration line by calling 800-528-7980. The cost of the ticket is $20 and includes a continental breakfast and lunch. When you register with your major credit card, we'll mail your tickets good for our VIP line. The number to call is 800-528-7980.
Hey, better call that number soon. As of yesterday afternoon, I think just less than 100 tickets still available for that particular program. It is March the 8th, our All-Day Ag Outlook meeting over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
We know once a soybean grower has decided to plant a variety of beans, his next step is to
The ultimate goal of planting for the soybean farmer is to put enough seed into the ground to establish a plant population of about 100,000 per acre. The soybean specialist at the University of Illinois says there are many ways to reach that target. Extension's Vince Davis says one way is to consider a seed treatment coupled with a lower seeding rate.
And so for growers who still want to plant more seeds or a higher seeding rate of 170 or 180,000 seeds are probably not likely to find much value in using seed treatments. But for growers who want to reduce their seeding rates, they're more likely to find value of using seed treatments to protect each individual seed or to turn those seeds into productive plants to make sure we're going to have a final stand of 100,000 or greater.
Well, the lower seeding rate in this case can be 140 to 160,000 to the acre. It takes management, especially of weeds, and a proper seed bed preparation. The row spacing, a drill, 15s or 30s, doesn't seem to matter so much, says Davis, as long as the equipment provides for a uniform drop and good seed-to-soil contact. Illinois producers mostly, he says, do not need to worry about using an inoculant. Inoculants allow the soybean plant to fix nitrogen by promoting bradyrhizobium. Still, the key word there is mostly, especially if the grower intends to use a lower seeding rate.
But where we do have a lot of growers that are including more corn in their rotations and going 3, 4, or 5 years of corn between their soybean cycles, those growers may have more likelihood of finding a benefit for using inoculants. So inoculants are something that they're fairly cheap to use, so they can provide a small level of insurance that you will get proper nodulation and have proper bradyrhizobia. You also don't expect large yield increases from their use in most of our soils in Illinois.
You can read more on soybean seeding rates and plant populations from Vince Davis on the University of Illinois Integrated Pest Management website. The address is www.ipm.illinois.edu/bulletin. That's ipm.illinois.edu/bulletin. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The 21st annual All-Day Agricultural Outlook meeting is sure to attract a crowd. Among those presenting March 8th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, Murray Wise from Murray Wise Associates, Joe Vaklovic from MF Global, Roy Huckabee from the Lind Group, and Tom Fritz from EFG. Avoid the long registration line by calling 800-528-7980. The cost of the ticket is $20 and includes a continental breakfast and lunch. When you register with your major credit card, we'll mail your tickets good for our VIP line. The number to call is 800-528-7980.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason in today to talk about the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Scott Butcher is on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Scott.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Did you have a busy day there and were the phones ringing?
Yeah, pretty active today with the market being up the way it was. We didn't really see a lot of selling going on. It was more just calls about what's going on with the markets and what's happening and Everybody trying to figure out what they're going to do next.
Did they say, well, how much more price action might there be to the upside? And did you have a good answer for them is really the question.
Yeah, I don't think we do have a good answer today. I think that we look into the future. You know, the next couple of months obviously are pretty important as we get closer to planting time. I think a lot of those decisions are, you know, still yet to be made as far as acreage. You know, a lot of people will tell you that there won't be a lot of change, but you know, it does feel like there will be some changes. You know, prices continue to move around between now and then. So I think the best thing that we can do is to, you know, just tell people that, you know, there's no guarantees, that's for sure. So take advantage of what's in front of us and, you know, not worry about what's ahead. So
I suppose they're waiting it out to some great extent because they're feeling like they could buy crop insurance and cover a lot of the downside risk.
Yeah, exactly. You definitely want to take advantage of that, you know, buy the highest level you can to insure yourself, because it really looks like, you know, the guarantees this year are really going to be, you know, really beneficial to everybody.
It might be a good thing that the price is awfully high, because if I remember correctly, across the state of Illinois, average crop insurance at 85% will be 170% of last year or something along those lines. So the premium should be pretty steep. I don't know whether they've gotten to that sticker shock just yet or not.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Probably not. They won't be glad to see it, that's for sure.
Tell
me about your Clymers ethanol facility. How's it operating? And were you surprised by the numbers USDA put out on ethanol usage that they went back up this month?
Everything has went well for us. I mean, we obviously are, right now we're trying to push through as much as we can. I mean, I think margins are still, you know, fairly decent. They're not maybe what they were a month ago or so, but they're still pretty good. We've basically tried to keep things running as best we can. I think the USDA numbers are a little bit surprising. I think those numbers, you know, seem a little bit high to me, but I think we have seen this in, you know, in the last few months. So we've seen the numbers come out one way one month, and then we do have corrections, you know, the next month or so. So definitely it doesn't seem like those numbers really, you know, stay constant from one month to the next. They sure can change.
Hey, are you still giving bids all the way out, and where do you stop now?
Yeah, we are. We're basically through August, and then we have a new crop bid. So, you know, we do have bids basically now through the summer, and then we have a new crop bid, and that is about as far out as we go right now.
You have a new crop bid for December 11 or December 12?
December 11. Fall of 11.
For fall of 11. Okay, so I was asked, do they ask very often about going out to the next year? Nobody does.
Not really. I mean, a lot of people are, you know, just kind of looking at what those numbers look like, but I don't really think, you know, there's not a lot of interest in selling cash corn out there. It's more, you know, on a hedge to arrive basis or something like that.
Okay. Anything else beside your bids for the day?
I don't believe so, Todd. Right now, cash corn at Clymers were $6.93, beans at Delphi $14.31.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Scott Butcher. He's with the Clymers facility, belongs to the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana. Somebody from that office joins us each and every Wednesday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market.
The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
Let's recap what USDA did this morning when they released the numbers. U.S. carryover now has been lowered, ending stocks for corn at 675 million. That's down from the January projection of 745 million bushels and compares to last year at 1.708 billion. Soybeans, 140 million, were unchanged. Wheat at 818 million, unchanged. And cotton in bales at 1.9 million bales, unchanged as well. Global carryout for corn at 122.51 million metric tons. That's down 127 million metric tons, or down from the 127. And the beans at 58.21 million metric tons, down slightly from the 58.28 million metric tons, which was released in January. More in a couple of minutes.
It's National Bagels and Lox Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1870, the creation of the U.S. National Weather Service was authorized by Congress and placed under the guidance of Cleveland Abbey, who had the unique skill of being the only person in the nation who had experience drawing weather maps from telegraphic reports and predicting the weather from them. Abbey is generally known as the father of the U.S. Weather Bureau. In 1889, the United States Department of Agriculture was established as a cabinet-level agency. In 1894, Hershey's Chocolate Company was founded as a subsidiary of Milton S. Hershey's Lancaster Caramel Company. And in 1901, Fred Harvey died in Leavenworth, Kansas. Born in 1835 in London, Frederick Henry Harvey operated a chain of restaurants called the Harvey House and a series of railroad dining cars and hotels. The restaurants were opened along the route of the Atchison, Topeka and Santa Fe Railroad and were staffed by Harvey girls, who over the years numbered in the thousands. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Market Report, it is a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner, World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City, is out of the office today. But John Davis from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago is on his 23rd floor of the building there in Chicago, looking out, I suppose. I don't know, are your skies clear or cloudy there this afternoon, John?
We are totally clear, Todd.
Oh, so you can see a long ways, and when you look into your crystal ball for the forecast and at all the data, what do you see?
Well, we will see temperatures begin to warm up starting late this week and over the weekend, so certainly the one thing that's evident is no other big storm is kind of headed our way here across the Midwest, and we gradually will begin warming starting on Friday and then over the weekend, and that warming trend will continue much of next week, and we're actually look like we're getting ready for an extended period of above normal temperatures. So whereas we're in the deep freeze this week and for another day or two, looks like after that it's going to be kind of much more spring-like here by the weekend and on into next week.
What kind of daytime highs are we talking about?
Well, for northern Illinois, now certainly the snow cover will tend to deter things a little bit and not get us as warm as we would be. But even with that, you're going to be seeing temperatures up in the 40s across areas of northern Illinois. By the time you get to central Illinois, temperatures in the 50s some days we get into next week.
Okay, and then let's talk about some of the cropping areas. Is there enough snowfall, in your opinion, to protect or have protected the hard red winter wheat crop in the U.S.? And then there was a little bit of discussion on our station, at least, and a couple of other places, about frost in Mexico and the corn crop there.
Yes, we think that for this week at least, the combination of a very healthy, protective snow cover and the fact that temperatures were not as cold as last week's events, we do not think we had any winter kill damage either in the Plains hard red belt or in the Midwest soft red belt this week. Of course, last week we had issues in the Plains hard red belt. The situation for Mexico and their corn crop, that's really a situation that has evolved over the past 10-day time frame. They've had very cold temperatures down across northern Mexico, and for some of the corn crop down across that region, we absolutely think there was some damage here over the last 10-day time frame.
And then, I don't know whether you've checked this just yet or not, there are some rumblings that China has been in a drought or is entering one of the two. What do you see there?
The real issue when we're talking winter wheat is that they did not get very well established last fall when the crop was planted and became established. Usually their winters are pretty dry across those areas, and this one has been normally dry, which is normally the case in those areas. But they were dry last fall, but this winter has been nothing unusual. Now, once the crop breaks dormancy and begins spring growth, they will need moisture right away, but that's always the case across those areas. So we're going to enter that critical time frame as we go later in March and on into April.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
You too. John Davis is in Chesapeake Energy, high up in the Boeing building there, and joins us on a Wednesday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Thanks for being along with us for the day. If you get the opportunity, please do visit our website. That's WILLAG.org. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.